Still have some calls lighting us up here after a first hour in which I asked, who's going overboard with the Steelers? Who needs to pump the brakes? First, actually listen to what's being said. Not only on this show, but I think among those who are high on the Steelers right now. I don't think anybody's saying the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. I haven't heard anybody say that, honestly. Here I've written and said that I think they arrived in some ways on Sunday night, announced themselves as a team to be reckoned with. Why wouldn't they be? They seem to have a quarterback now, which is kind of important. They have a star receiver, a really good running back. A star on their defensive line still in Cam Hayward. The best defensive player in football, really good player on the other side. We're waiting on Minka, I'll grant you that. But why wouldn't they be, when healthy, a team to be reckoned with when they're better than last year, when they won 10, and they seem to have a quarterback? Seem to. We'll see where the whole Russell Wilson thing goes. I don't see anything outlandish or crazy about that. You open eyes when you start to win by more points, when every game isn't a death struggle. That's what you're supposed to do when you're good. And when the Steelers have been legitimately good, that's what they do. The last time they were legitimately really good, I think, was early in the 2020 season before Bud Dupree got hurt against the Ravens, because he was great that year, when they were blowing teams out. It's kind of not complicated when you think about it. Some people scoff at things like goal differential and run differential in hockey and baseball, point differential in football. After two or three games, it's a bogus stat. But when you get into, what are we at, 40% of the season here? Wonder Twin? What's six
of
17?
Yeah, pretty much 7 games in.
Yeah. When you're at 40% of the season and your point differential is really good, like plus 60-something, that's probably not always a good indicator that you're a good team. When you're right around 500, you probably have a point differential that's right around there too. And when you're what the Steelers have mostly been of late, well, you're involved in that kind of struggle every week. And that's no way to go in the long term. It may draw admiration from the masses because you make the playoffs sometimes and then get blown out. That part is very hard for me to figure out. But it's just not a recipe. It means you're not that good. That's simple. It means you're not that good. And when your point differential at this point is like a plus 60, you're probably pretty good. Probably. I think they are. 412-928-9370. I also think they're the second best team in their own division. And the other take from the first hour was Lamar, where it feels like I can never just enjoy the guy without somebody piping up and saying, yeah, but. And I get it. There's criticism to be had for playoff performances. But I'll reverse the but there. It's a reverse rebuttal. He's one of the most entertaining, maybe that's the best way to phrase it, entertaining players I have ever seen in the NFL in a long time watching it. I mean, you can't take your eyes off the guy. Last night being a prime example. Limits, let's go to the lines here. What do we got? We're going to hear from Ben in a moment from his podcast on Danny Smith and the booing. At least some people thought it was direct booing of Russell Wilson. That might be debatable, but he'll talk about that. First, let's go to you.
Well, let's go to Brick in the car.
Hello, Brick.
It's actually Rick, not Brick. I'm not sure what.
You thought there was a man named Brick?
No, but he was still on hold from the morning show, and Harry put his name in wrong.
You've been waiting since the morning show?
I've been on for over 2 hours.
Holy bird follicles. There was a guy named Brick.
God love you, Rick.
I was just about to tell you, Rick, that one of my favorite shows of all time is The Middle. And the little kid
on
the little, he's named
Malcolm
Brick.
In the Middle.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, not Malcolm in the Middle, just the middle.
Oh, just in the middle. Oh, the middle. Okay. All right.
Well, that's beside the point. What would possess you to hold for this long?
I DoorDash every day, so I listen to the morning show. I listen to you guys. I listen to Pony and Mueller.
Man, we appreciate that. Truly.
I mean, I'm going to be 63 on Thursday, and when you do something, you know, to support a little extra, especially a 17-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
I get to listen to sports all day and have a good time. But anyhow, on Sunday, I think it was Tyler Palka was on. He was talking about gratefulness. And I got three things I want to talk about. First of all, I want to share my gratefulness for you, Joe. And yesterday, you and City Limits and Bob were talking about how Lamar Jackson was 22-1 against NFC teams.
Yeah.
So that led me to go ahead and make a $200 wager last night on the Ravens, and of course, it panned out.
You're
so
welcome.
I'm grateful.
Yeah, you're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Yes, of course. The more we can do, everybody's got their hand in the pile around here, right? Limits
percent, I guess.
What else?
Well, you know, I think that when you look at the people on social media, and a lot of these people, for the most part, are between the ages of 15 and 50. The majority of them, I don't think, are as so grateful that they should be of having the quarterback like we did in Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, I've seen, just like you have, I've seen many iterances of the Pittsburgh Steelers over the years, and I think that people just need to be grateful for the talent that we have and let it develop. I mean, it was very obvious Sunday night that Russell Wilson was the field general out there. You heard him making audibles, and that was good in itself, because you remember when Ben did the dilly dilly?
I do, the dilly dilly. Now we have the Coors Light. Yeah, no, your point is well taken. Your point's well taken. He has a winning aura about him, a leadership aura about him.
He sure does. And you know, I think, you know, I made this point last night with Pony is we just need to give the guy a chance, because I think what's going to happen, you saw the way he spread the ball out and got other people involved. We've been so narrow-mindedly focused on getting a second receiver from somewhere, and I think a guy like Russ can help develop those younger receivers the way Ben did when Young Money was all starting out.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a mature passing game in the NFL and a real quarterback who can throw, then everybody becomes a legit receiving threat. That's how a guy like Tom Brady, and I'm not comparing Russell to Tom Brady necessarily, but that's how he wins Super Bowls, you know, with lacrosse players catching balls. When you have that kind of coaching and that kind of quarterbacking, then guys like Van Jefferson and who knows, maybe even Roman Wilson someday, become players, become threats, become people who make plays.
And doesn't that just follow the standard as the standard and the next man up?
Pretty much. And I appreciate the call, sir. I appreciate you listening to all the shows, too. Is he still there?
No, he's gone.
That shows some serious dedication, does it not?
Very, very serious dedication.
I mean, he did just keep his... He just kept the phone line hooked up while he was doing DoorDash.
Not Brick, though. Rick.
Do you DoorDash milkshakes?
No.
Limits?
I don't DoorDash anything.
No? Nothing?
No.
Interesting. Next.
I've used it like on trips, but that's really it. Here is Matt in Lancaster.
Hi, Matt.
Or Lancaster, as they say in Lancaster.
Yes.
Well, I'm originally from out in Western PA in Indiana, so... whatever way you guys want to say it, it's fine with me. But, Joe, I love the show, man. I just wanted to make the quick comment of everybody saying pump the brakes. I say cut them. Cut them loose. We were not going to see any semblance of an offense like this with Fields just because of, you know, Coach T's own being afraid of his own shadow with a younger quarterback to make a mistake. The only way we were going to see anything like this, and that was the most fun I had watching a game in like 5 years.
Yeah.
Is with an experienced guy like Russ out there, that he gives him more slack and more rope. We were just going to, and that was the most excited I think I've seen Tomlin, and the most emotional I've seen the guy, other than standing there just stoically looking, biting his lips, staring at the scoreboard, watching another you know, three and out, dirted ball, overthrow, just that we've seen over and over and over again since late stage Ben.
Well, I think you hit on a point that we talked about yesterday, which was a new energy. That game just felt different. I mean, it was so fun. And there have been, you know, pockets of that with Kenny. There was late stage Ben. There was some of that. You know, you think of the night, his retirement night where they beat Cleveland. That was awesome. Mason Rudolph last year provided a little bit of that. But for the most part, it has felt awfully stale and old around here. Like we expect the same thing over and over. And the nature of the games they play, which prompts praise in some corners, I think it is more deserving of, if not scorn, than something close to it. It's been boring. It's been boring, yeah. Old, and stale around here. And this, the other night, just felt like something new is on the horizon. Something way more enjoyable. A new energy. This guy just said it. Most fun watching a game in 5 years. 928-9370. I'm going to take a sharp left turn here, Limits. This ought to be right up your alley. You ready?
Yes.
You've never been more ready. Let me say, by the way, that fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Larry Fitzgerald going to be honored. Is this weekend October? When is October 24th? Thursday night?
That would be Thursday night, yes.
I've completely lost track of the date. Huge game for Pitt.
I want to go to that game.
Perhaps we could take a field trip. We've been fighting lately. That could be sort of
we have not been fighting.
A truce. Yes, we have. You didn't answer my text this morning because you were angry.
No, you woke me up with your text.
No, we're not getting into that anymore. How about a field trip?
I'll do that.
Maybe. Maybe we will take a field trip.
I do want to check out this game.
I think it's going to be interesting.
Thursday night, prime time.
Yeah. Chance to go, what, 7-0? Here's the thing about it that I'm talking about, however, and that is Larry Fitzgerald. Pitt and the National Football Foundation and the College Football Hall of Fame coming together to honor 2024 College Football Hall of Fame electee Larry Fitzgerald, an on-campus salute. How about that, little limitless wonder? But that leads me to my question when I just saw this pop up in my email. Who is Pitt's greatest player of the 21st century since the year 2000, since the millennium turned? Limits. You were just a baby then. Were you even born then?
2001.
You weren't even born yet.
Correct.
But I'm sure you have a good working knowledge of all these players. There's four choices. Some might think three. I think four. Who is the greatest Pitt player since the turn of the century? However you want to define that. The greatest for a single season? The greatest over a career? And this is only at Pitt. No NFL. I don't care about the NFL. The greatest Pitt player, Aaron Donald, Larry Fitzgerald, Kenny Pickett, or Shady McCoy?
Okay, those are the four that first came to mind for me as well.
How are you going to put Shady McCoy in there, somebody's saying in their car right now? Why would you put him in a conversation with Aaron Donald, Larry Fitzgerald, and, of course, 1 year Kenny Pickett? He was unbelievable that year. He almost won the Heisman.
Jordan Addison won the Blitnikoff, too, with Pickett.
Yeah, I can't put him in this conversation.
I'm not either, but just making an argument.
Yes, and I like your argument. You're very smart, man.
Thank you. You are smarter.
You're smarter. I like that, too. Shady McCoy played here for two seasons. He basically was the offense. No offense to any of our other friends. Jonathan Baldwin was very good. Give him that. In two seasons, Limits, he only played 25 games at Pitt. So two seasons, 2,816 yards and 35 touchdowns. 35 over 2 years. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry, 113 yards rushing a game. Oh, and by the way, he caught 65 passes for almost 600 yards. This dude basically had 3,400 yards and 36 touchdowns from scrimmage in 2 years.
Incredible.
And
but the Texans are making a very, very good point
that you missed.
And
who did I miss?
You excluded Darrell Revis, who needs to be on that list in the top four. Bump Kenny Pickett out for Darrell Revis.
What? Darrell Revis was a great player here and a greater player in the NFL. Okay, you want to put him in there. I'm not putting him in there for let me check his time at Pitt. Now, nobody threw at him. And he had
big reason why
he had one of the greatest plays of all time. There's no doubt about that. In 3 years, started 35 games, 8 picks, 5 tackles for loss. I don't know, man. He was a great, great player. I'm not disputing that at all.
He just got inducted into the Pitt Hall of Fame.
Yeah, nobody's saying he's not a great player. Do you put him with Larry Fitzgerald in college?
I don't put him ahead of Larry Fitzgerald, but I put him in that top four conversation.
Do you put him with Larry Fitzgerald from his Pitt career strictly? Because I don't.
I would.
Okay. Do you put him with Aaron Donald from Aaron Donald's Pitt career, Darrell Revis?
I would. Now, those two are ahead of Darrell Revis, but I would put him in that same top four, yes.
I wouldn't. And then Kenny Pickett, like I said, almost won the Heisman. Now, if you want to talk total career, I guess. I don't know. I thought that... Revis's pro career was better than his college career.
Well, Aaron Donald's pro career was better than his college career, too. But same thing with Larry Fitz. I mean, their pro careers, because they lasted so much longer, made all pros, played in Super Bowls. Donald's case and Revis's case won Super Bowls. That's more so, I think, what we remember because of the national stage
It was on. I remember Aaron Donald having 29 tackles for loss and 11 sacks and winning the Nagurski, the Bednarik, and being a Heisman candidate as a defensive player. That's what I remember.
Oh, I remember that too, but isn't one of the first things you think of when you think of Aaron Donald, him pointing to the ring on his finger during the Super Bowl and saying, ring me, after the big sack that he had in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he's an all-time great college player and an all-time great NFL player. I don't know. I guess you want to put Revis in there, go ahead. Put Revis in as with Aaron Donald and Fitzgerald and the year that Kenny Pickett had. For me, no, but you can. I think his pro career was way more noteworthy than his college career. The other guys were literal Heisman Trophy candidates in college.
Yeah, Pickett or final. And Larry Fitz probably should have won it.
For me. And if you hear that as denigrating Darrell Revis, I'm not talking about you, but anybody out there, then you're out of your mind. He was great. Great. But I think when part of the reason you're great is that nobody throws to you, so you're not that involved part of the time. If that's your argument, I don't know. That's a tough one for me. Anyway, I rank them as my criterion is if I was starting a college football team right now, I could have any of those guys at their best in college. Who would you take first? That's a great question.
It'd be Donald or Larry Fitz, and I think it would probably be Larry by a hair.
Larry by a hair. For me, it would be, I mean, based on position, I feel like having a guy on the defensive line is just a game-wrecking position for me. I actually think my hot take here is I would take Shady probably over all of them. Because he didn't have a whole lot around him, like nothing. Like teams knew he was going to run the ball like 13-9. And he was the best player on the field that night by a million miles, by the way. Games like that, games at Notre Dame, where he was unbelievable. Even though every team's defensive game plan was if you stop that guy, you'll stop Pitt. And like I said, 3,400 scrimmage yards and 36 touchdowns in 2 years. It doesn't begin to speak to his greatness.
Right.
Imagine him in a Jason White-like situation. Imagine him on a USC or an Oklahoma where you have, you know, holes the size of Mulsey's cranium to run through.
Yeah, all first-round draft picks are blocking for you.
He might have rushed for 2,500 yards in a season. Forget about a career.
I just can't get over Larry Fitz as a freshman with the leading the conference in receptions and touchdowns, over 1,000 yards as a freshman in the Big East, and then 92 catches for an FBS high, 1,672 yards.
I know.
22
I know.
Touchdowns. He should have won the Heisman. It was a joke that he didn't.
Who do you blame for that? Anyone in particular?
Doesn't Ron blame like a couple particular... Did Ron vote for Larry Fitz? I don't think he did, right? Wasn't that like a big argument that Ron
yes,
never voted for
him?
It
was a big argument. Of course it was.
And Jason White finished ahead of him?
Yes. Jason White finished ahead of him. Was it strictly on Ron's vote?
It was by, I think, two or three votes.
Right.
How about Eli Manning finished third in the Heisman that year?
What?
Eli Manning was third in the Heisman that year. You know who was seventh in the Heisman that year? One quarterback out of Miami of Ohio, Ben Roethlisberger.
Holy bird milk. See, and with Revis, was he an All-American? I don't know. I've got listed as All-Americans here. Cansey, Addison, Patrick Jones was a consensus All-American, huh? Rashad Weaver, Henderson, Donald, Fitzgerald, Bryant.
And no, then, Revis was not a consensus All-American.
I just, as great as he was, you got to stretch it to make your argument, I think. Like, he was that great that they never went at him, which is why his numbers aren't. It might be true. It might be a good point in the end. But I just, for strictly this argument's sake, I don't think it works for me, as great as he was. I'm going Aaron Donald 1, Shady, Fitzgerald, and then Pickett for that year. Let's not forget what he did that year, by the way.
I know. ACC champs, dominant performance that year. The stars really aligned. But I can't forget about what happened prior to that in his Pitt career. I mean, there were people saying the year before he came back to Pitt, should this guy even come back or should Pitt just completely turn the page? What, didn't they lose in like the Tax Slayer Bowl or something? Whatever they played in Detroit that one year.
I know,
and they lost
but
the bowl
doesn't
game?
What he did his last year wipe out everything else? Pitt has won one consensus conference title.
And that Miami win that he had also,
ever,
number two team in the country, was
ever.
Special.
All I know is I've been watching Pitt football for a long time. And the only time I saw a shot of the crowd, shots of the crowd with waving giant Pitt flags with ticker tape coming down on national television was the night that dude did what he did against Wake Forest and had 42 touchdowns and 7 picks on the season. Let's not go back and rewrite the Kenny Pickett record book here.
Oh, I know.
Limits just he wasn't good for the Steelers.
Me and my buddy Joey went to probably 4 games that year.
And your buddy Joey should call the show.
Well, my buddy Joey's a big Pitt fan. He's a Pitt grad, 2-time Pitt grad.
Rank them 1-4. If you want to put Revis in your conversation, go ahead.
We were at that game where they clinched the ACC title in the regular season. I would put Larry Fitz 1,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald 2,
mm-hmm.
Shady McCoy 3, and Darrell Revis 4 with Kenny Pickett right behind at 5.
Wow. Wow. And that's the definition. Well, I guess based on the definition of who you would start a college team with. Yeah, I guess.
And that's not anti-Kenny Pickett at all. That's bro Darrell Revis more than anything.
If we were choosing single seasons, though.
Single seasons, then yes, Kenny Pickett will be ahead.
Yes.
It would go those same top three.
And honestly, for me at least, what Kenny Pickett did in a single season for Pitt, you could actually make an argument that he should win this.
Yeah, because it was the most monumental and substantial.
Yeah.
Because trophies matter, and he brought one back to the program.
And darn near a Heisman.
Yeah.
Anyway, that would be interesting. We got to get to Tomlin top of the hour. You've taken up all our time limits. 412-928-9370. Mike Tomlin, top of the hour for the first time in a while. There's not going to be any guessing on the quarterback situation. It's let Russ cook. And speaking of that, on our website right now, where's the story? Oh, here it is. Our very own Andrew Lindberg. What a wonderful man he is, isn't he? City Limits?
One of my favorites.
It only took a week. There's already a Russell Wilson sandwich at Primanti Brothers. $1 from each sandwich sold will go to UPMC Children's Hospital, it says on Andrew's story at 937thefan.com, odyssey.com. You can watch us on there, by the way. At least me. Why don't they have you on film or on video?
That's a good question. I don't know.
And also, you can find us on YouTube, where the numbers have been spectacular lately. All right. Primanti Brothers said if Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson, quote, cooked on Sunday night against the Jets, they would release a sandwich dedicated to him. Well, Andrew writes, cook he did. And on Tuesday morning, Primanti's announced the release of the dangerous, get that horse? The dangerous sandwich. In homage to the Danger Witch, which was briefly sold in the Denver area when he was the Broncos quarterback. Are you following this, Limits?
I got you.
The sandwich has pepperoni, salami, ham, and bacon topped with provolone cheese. Of course, the fries, coleslaw, and tomato. How about that? Huh?
We need to try this.
Yeah, I think they should send us one, right?
Or two.
Or three. 1 week, and he's already got a sandwich named after him.
And I do like that $1 from each sandwich will be donated to UPMC Children's Hospital. He's been visiting there, I know, a lot.
Yeah.
Every week with the children there. So that's the awesome part of this.
Absolutely. I mean, this is fabulous stuff. Hopefully, this gets even better. And I think there's a decent chance it will. I mean, of course it could. For one thing, the Giants are coming to town. For another, this dude was basically, you know, inactive for 10 months in terms of real snaps and real live games. How many camp reps? He got benched in Denver, even though he was good. And then how many first team camp reps did he get after the blocking sled attacked him? How many preseason? What do you have? Three series maybe in the preseason? I can't remember. And then nothing. And he came in and it was horrifying for a quarter, but then he settled in and played a great game. Call me crazy, Limits, but I think it's a pretty good chance it'll get better from here, right?
I would think so, with more camaraderie with the offense, with more of an opportunity to just gel and mesh, which is what we saw the first half was so bleak and not being able to have.
More opportunity to cook.
More opportunity to let Russ cook. He's, what are they doing? Chasing the seven? What's it called? For the seven? This is new slogan for winning a Super Bowl here?
I haven't seen this. Is there a phrase that
win
goes
the
around
seventh,
that?
I think it is.
Okay. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray. Or at sunchevy.com. High of 80 today with sunny skies. My friend Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. The Batconian Mongoose. Did you see him photobomb Brandon Marshall the other day in the media room?
Yes. You got a picture of him and Tomlin.
Absolutely incredible. So he's going to come in. We're all going to break down the Tomlin news conference today. Injury updates I'm looking for how, very interested to see how he makes the Giants sound like the 07 Patriots. That should be fun. And also his take on Russ from the other night.